You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Thursday, April 22nd. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker, here with Nick Nelson of TwinsDaily.com. Nick is back talking with us today after a brutal Twins loss yesterday and, frankly, a brutal stretch. Nick, I broke this down a little bit after the game. I want to start with you, though, as we talk about this, and there was so much to break down here. I think the most controversial thing to come from that game, and people, and I said it yesterday, will quickly look to the manager, but what was your initial reaction, now that we've had kind of a day to think about it, of Rocco Baldelli pinch running Josh Donaldson for Travis Blankenhorn?
I didn't make too much of it at the time. I didn't even really notice it when it happened, to be honest, because I was at a happy hour, which I quickly made very unhappy for everyone. But I personally don't have a huge problem with it. I mean, Donaldson, look, we've seen how everyone's getting hurt. We know what a big injury risk Donaldson is. And even though Rocco basically said it, the strategy was all about trying to maximize the ability in that run in, Blankenhorn maybe has a tad more speed. I'm sure a big thing playing into his head is, do I really want Donaldson sprinting around third, possibly sliding into home on a close play? Mm-hmm. Can I possibly prevent that after he's played, 23 innings in the last third game in 2 days? So, I mean, I think that's an aspect of it that's just being overlooked by people a little bit. And you got to think long term. Rocco's thinking long term, and that's the smart thing to do, as much as the short term impacts might be really hurting him right now.
Yeah, short term, they're 6-11. And honestly, Nick, I think we're on the same wavelength with that. Like, when I saw it was going to be Josh out there on second, I groaned. I was like, oh no. A, because, you know, he's not a good runner. And B, because you don't want him in that spot. Like you're saying, it's not an ideal situation to have him out there. Travis Blankenhorn has played second base all the way through the minors. He's played a little third. And frankly, Luis Arraez has looked pretty good at third base. I know early on in the season there was, you know, he didn't, I think on opening day even, he was a little shaky over there and has had some shaky plays. But it's not, I think people also are acting like Luis Arraez has never played third base before. He's played third base for the last 2 weeks when Donaldson's been out. I think it's just, it culminates to that. And overall though, Nick, over the 6-11 start, like, what, I don't know, want to ask you for a grade and put you on the spot, but like, how much of this do you think is on Baldelli? Cause I really do think that it varies, and it's the same thing happening in New York. They have the same record as the Twins. It's like, how much is Aaron Boone? How much is this of this is Rocco in your eyes?
I mean, I don't think he's having a great year, and he certainly hasn't had a great stretch. He's made some decisions that have been head scratching. I mean, you can certainly look at the Donaldson decision as one. There were maybe some moves earlier in that game. You know, I think about walking Mike Trout intentionally with a 2-strike count. Mm-hmm. Just things where it seems like maybe he's overthinking a little bit, and managers press just like players do when you're in a slump, right? But I just put so little of it on him. I mean, these players are making it impossible for him to be successful because they just can't execute. Nobody can execute. You know, you look at the number of things that had to happen in order for these errors by Blankenhorn and Arraez to cost the Twins the game, all the players that just came up short and failed to execute and just made incomprehensible mistakes. You know, Baldelli could be doing a better job, but there's nothing he could be doing right now that would have this team winning the majority of these last few games.
Yeah, and I think the separation here too is, like, you look at the short term and you understand it's 162 games, and, you know, just based on your tweets and kind of the conversations we've had a little bit early in the season, it seems like you have that long-term perspective as well. And I've had that, but it's also doesn't mean that you can't be frustrated over this slow start and things that just seem to go wrong and will go wrong over these, you know, first 17 games for the Twins. But what's your long-term concern level, Nick? Because short-term concern level is different than long-term concern level. Over this full 162 game season, with what you've seen from the Twins, maybe it's not enough that you've seen to make that long-term judgment call, but sitting here today on an off day on Thursday, April 22nd, they got the Pirates this weekend, they got the Cleveland next week and the Royals next weekend. What's your concern level for the season for the Twins, that they may not be in a playoff spot or that they'll win the division? Like, where do you sit on that whole long-term perspective?
Yeah, the way I kind of keep perspective and talk myself out of getting too, well, I mean, I've been pretty upset watching these games, but from going crazy or drawing big conclusions, is that I've watched baseball long enough to know that time and time again, we've been in these situations where it just seems like everything's going wrong and everything's falling apart. And you just can't believe, I mean, like, this can't be a good team with the way they've played. They look like a terrible team. But 2 weeks later, you're in a perfectly good spot. You're back above 500 and you barely even remember it. It's such a long season. You know, you mentioned the Yankees. Great example. The Yankees are going to make the playoffs. Okay. They're off to a bad start. I mean, their fans are freaking out even worse than the Twins fans, but they shouldn't be because it's a good team. It's a good team that's off to a bad start. You look at the Athletics, who they just played. They're the perfect example. I mean, they started 0-6 and they had like a negative 30 run differential. They truly looked horrendous. I mean, they're like, well, the A's are just, they're not even a factor. Yep. Well, now they've won 11 straight games. They looked incredible against the Twins. And the Twins are just as good of a team in my mind as the A's or the Yankees. You know, I came into this season believing this was a great team and that faith hasn't been shaken. This isn't just a standard slump. I mean, they are going through a massive circumstantial situation where they're missing multiple regulars. They're dealing with the stress and disruption of constant COVID testing and the false positives and everything that entails. So I think long-term, I still feel good about this team. I still think it's a good team. I do think there is legit room for concern about the hole they're digging. I mean, they're going to have to climb out of it now and get back well above 500 because, I mean, Chicago and Cleveland are good teams. They're not going to finish at 500. And I think it's legitimate to be concerned about some of their players. I mean, the catchers look really bad.
Yeah.
This bullpen is questionable. And, you know, certainly some of the regression we've seen from Maeda is not very encouraging. I don't think we've had enough of an opportunity to see any of the prospects get off to hot starts or anything like that because there's no minor leagues. So that's sort of, we're not seeing that whole thing. I do think that will end up being a pretty big factor this year. So I still feel quite good about the team. I'm still pretty confident.
Locker Room is a live, audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and to use. You can talk to me, talk to other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. I went live tonight with Matt Brown. You're listening to that episode right now. Locker Room is a free, audio-only social media platform for sports fans. You can start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. You can talk with other sports fans, insiders, athletes, and executives in real time. It's a very easy-to-use platform. It's easy to download, and it's easy to join. All you need to do is download that Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the Twins MLB group. Follow me at NashWalker9 and at LockedOnTwins to be notified when my room goes live. We'll be going live on Locker Room mostly on Wednesdays and next Wednesday for sure. Come with your spiciest takes.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked on there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Well, let's talk about both those things. First, let's talk about Kenta, because this isn't just yesterday, Nick. Like, he on opening day wasn't sharp. His command just it wasn't consistent. I think more so on opening day, it was like not throwing enough strikes. Like, he was walking guys and not getting those whiffs. And then we saw in some of those middle starts too before yesterday, just command problems. And he's able to work around it because he has really good stuff. Could not do it yesterday and got absolutely shelled. And I honestly haven't seen since spring training Maeda have consistent command from inning to inning and from start to start. That's to me, like, the rotation. People are going to talk about this lineup and the health, and it's all valid. But to me, like, if Maeda's not your guy, I think they're going to be in a heap of trouble.
Yeah. I mean, it's been very encouraging what we've seen from Pineda and Barrios. But you're right. I mean, I think you're diagnosing it just right with Maeda. It's a lack of command. Yeah. And that was his calling card. I mean, his ability to throw all those off-speed pitches right where he wanted to was his key to success last year. And that's how he's been a guy who's able to throw you know, 30-40% fastballs and be dominant. That's not something you really see very often. And now those breaking balls just aren't hitting the spots that he needs. And when you're leaving hanging breaking balls, you get crushed. So he walks a kind of a thin line, but I will say that, you know, control issues or command issues in my experience from good pitchers who have previously had command, those tend to come and go. They're not as worrisome as like a huge dip in velocity or something like that. So I think it's, we all expected a bit of regression and we're seeing it maybe a little more than we hoped for. But yeah, he needs to rebound and they need him back at that sort of rotation fronting level.
Well, you saw yesterday the upside in this lineup when it's healthy. It might not be now with Nelly kind of hobbling around, but hopefully he's okay. Arise, Donaldson, Cruz, Buxton, and Polanco had a really nice day yesterday. If he can just kind of pull his weight and drive in some runs, he's been pretty good with two outs and he's pretty good with two strikes. Like I feel decent when he's up there in a run scoring spot, but just generally hasn't been good. And I know you have talked about that too over the last year and a half, frankly, but you can see the upside with this offense. You infuse Kirilloff perhaps, and we'll get to that, but you saw it yesterday, Nick. They scored 12 runs. They should win. But you can just see the immense upside of the entire group when they're healthy, and Byron Buxton and Donaldson and Cruz. Like it's, I think this is a lineup and a quartet of right-handed bats too. You know, hopefully if Sano can come back and start to hit a little bit, that rivals any, like it rivals the Judge, Stanton, Torres, Sanchez quartet in New York. I think this is a special middle of the order. I think we saw it yesterday. What's your, your excitement level for that, just to see them all play together?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, 1-4, this lineup is as good as it gets when you got Arias and Donaldson and Cruz and Buxton up there. I thought Polanco's four-hit game, Polanco in general, his play over the last few games has been extremely encouraging. One of the most encouraging things we could see from this offense, really. They need to get him going. But yeah, I mean, it's very lopsided right now. They're not getting anything from the bottom of the lineup. I mean, these guys aren't just struggling. They're just, I mean, Garver, Jeffers, they're cave. They're missing all these pitches in the zone. Mm-hmm. They're struggling at a crazy level right now. But that's going to get corrected. I mean, either these guys are going to start to turn around or they're going to get replaced. I think we'll see Kirilloff up tomorrow. That could be a boost. You got Larnach waiting in the wings. Potentially they might have to start going to some of these guys a little quicker than they expected, but they have some pieces ready. I mean, this team has a lot of depth. That's what we talked about at the beginning of the season. And we might see it come into play if some of these struggles continue in that bottom half of the lineup.
I mean, honestly, if you look at it and you have Arise, Donaldson, Cruz, Buxton, Polanco, Kirilloff, and then Kepler's healthy. I haven't even mentioned him, you know, and he hasn't had a great start to the year either. But even now, like I feel okay about Max just maybe being average. Like even if he's average, I think that lineup is really good. And you add Kirilloff to it. I think the expectation is that Kirilloff will be added tomorrow, Nick. You know, it's just what we've seen out of Jake Cave. It's just you can't play him anymore. And I know against left-handers, he's unplayable, period. But against right-handers, he's been unplayable too. And to me, the depth, if your depth doesn't play well, you don't have depth, right? Their depth is that they have two good catchers, or coming into the year that they had two good hitting catchers, that Jake Cave was a passable against righties corner outfielder. I certainly felt that way. And I thought their depth was their biggest strength. But if your depth doesn't play well, you don't have it. You know, what do you expect from Kirilloff if it is tomorrow? And how much do you think he can bring to this lineup, and maybe even defensively too? Cause we've seen in Rooker and, Arise in left field, it's not the sharpest defense out there either.
Yeah. I mean, I think he'll come up and give him a spark. He's a great hitter. You know, it's good to get sort of maybe a fresh mind as much as a body into the clubhouse. Got someone who hasn't been going through these struggles and getting kind of beat down by the demoralizing losses. You know, he came in last year in the playoffs when the Twins were in an elimination game and hadn't been playing very well. And he did give them that spark. He looked like a veteran player. And I think it'll be the same way defensively. I definitely have my concerns. I don't think he's a good outfielder. He's better than Rooker, but we'll see what's up with Sano. I wouldn't be surprised if Kirilloff is playing a fair amount of first base out of the gates. Mm-hmm. And you know, if Sano can't start to get it going, maybe they'll sort of be, I guess, like they could do some sort of platooning situation, except Sano has been so bad against left-handed pitching that almost doesn't even make sense. But I will be very curious to see how they use him. But, you know, with Cruz and Sano banged up, there could be some opportunities at DH and first base right out of the gates here.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, But the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code Locked On. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Yeah, let's get to the bullpen, Nick, because Alexander Colome, another just yesterday. You know, it wasn't his fault as much in the 10th, but I think the problem is that, and you mentioned it, he can't miss bats. Like, he has that at-bat with Ramon Laureano. Laureano followed off like 8 pitches in a row. He just couldn't get him to swing through it. You see the risk of that, right? You see the risk of having someone like Colome out there. And I think the expectation a little bit maybe that went into the decision of signing him is you have Andrelton Simmons at short. Andrelton Simmons isn't at short anymore, and all of a sudden this defense, especially with Blankenhorn at second, and Arise at third, is pretty suspect in a huge spot. And then his value, Colome's, goes down. You know, Rogers, I thought, for the most part, looked good yesterday. Buxton kind of saved him on that catch. But what do you think of the bullpen right now, you know, looking forward in the next couple of weeks into the rest of the season? Like, what's your concern level with them, with that group?
I would say I'm highly concerned. I think the bullpen looks terrible. Rogers is kind of the same deal as last year, where he doesn't look terrible. He throws a lot of good pitches, but yeah, twice yesterday he gave up rockets to the outfield in a spot where he really couldn't. And we saw a lot of that last year too, just very ill-timed hard contact against him. I think Duffy does not inspire any confidence in me right now. He looks nothing like the dominant reliever we saw over the last couple of years. And they're really having a hard time backfilling some of the reliability they got out of guys like Whistler and May. Robles is looking very inconsistent. He's looking at times like the kind of the mess that Los Angeles chose to part ways with. And I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to see some of these waiver guys and stuff step up, because their plan really put a lot of pressure on those guys to step in and fill significant roles. So far, we've just seen them kind of come and go. We really haven't seen much from guys like Waddell or Ian Hamilton or Jabeau or Sean Anderson, who was up for a day but didn't pitch. But I don't know. I mean, I tend to be confident in the way the Twins approach and build and operate their bullpens. But with the way things have been going this year, it's hard not to feel like that confidence is waning.
Yeah, I try to think about 2019. You remember that stretch where Blake Parker and Harper and all those guys were getting blasted into the sun, and we looked at that bullpen and we're like, oh my goodness, is this a terrible bullpen? You know, it's before Duffy kind of broke out in the second half too, and Rogers was great, but he was the only one really at that time. And then they ended up turning it around. You know, they traded for Sergio, who helped a lot actually in 2019. Traded for Dyson, who ended up doing nothing and found out was a brutal human as well. But I thought at that time it looked dire for the bullpen. And that's kind of the feeling I have now. I'm with you on that. It's like you look at it, you're, geez, I mean, who can you rely on in that bullpen at this point? Just doesn't feel good. But I think they might be just assessing at this point, looking at what they have. And like you said, those other guys, Hamilton, Jabeau, Waddell, hopefully that they can come in and try to patch things up. looking at the Central, Nick, I don't know how much like of games you've watched. I've watched a little bit of the White Sox, and I've watched some other games here and there, but it's a pretty muddled division, honestly. Like, you got the Royals at the top. I think the Royals are 11-7. It's like no one's out and running here considerably. I think Fangraphs, they don't feel the same way maybe about the Twins. They've dropped them to, I think, 30% to win the division. But and this kind of goes into that longer form question I asked you earlier, but should there be a difference in how we feel about the Twins winning the Central here based on what you've seen from other teams early on, like the White Sox and Cleveland and KC and those other clubs?
I mean, not really. I would be very concerned if the White Sox just streaked out of the gate and were like 10 games above 500 right now, you know, but they haven't. They haven't had as much struggles lately, but they've had some tough losses and they've lost to some bad teams. And we've heard some frustration from their fans at times. I'm still can't really find myself to be that concerned about Cleveland. I just don't think they can hit enough. And I don't know if their pitching is quite as dominant as it was last year. And yeah, I mean, Kansas City's gotten off to a nice start. I think they're a decent team, but they're not a team that concerns me about winning the division. So I think overall it could be a lot worse. You know, the Twins have to dig themselves out of a hole and they're a little ways from first place right now, but yeah, I'd rather be in this division than some other ones where teams are really starting to kind of take off.
Nick Nelson, twinsdaily.com. Last one for you, Nick. We looked at the division a little bit. We talked about the Yankees, but to me at least, the A's, I agree, they looked really impressive this weekend or this week. But to me, the American League, and I don't know if you and I talked about this before the season a little bit, but to me, the American League just looks so open. And that's why it's a little more frustrating for them to get off to this start. But I just think like no one is jumping out and establishing themselves as the clear best team in the American League. I feel like the Twins can slide into that. But, you know, looking forward, they got Pittsburgh, they got Kansas City. How important do you think is this? Like, I know some people are saying, hey, if they don't go 10-2 over the next 2 weeks, this season is like you can can it basically. Do you still look at it from it's the same 2 weeks, or do you think that there is that increased importance here that they need to go out and make a statement at home against Pittsburgh and then moving forward just to rack up some wins here in the next couple of weeks as they close out April and get into May?
I mean, it's so early that it's hard to say that they need to do anything. You know, if they go 500 over this next stretch, they're not going to be in any kind of dire straits. But I mean, in terms of building confidence with themselves, with the fans, you know, increasing morale, getting some of that excitement and energy, I do think they need to go out and win some series. You know, it starts to grind on you, and we've seen how things can sort of compound and compile when it starts to get bad. I mean, you don't like to bring up 2011 or 2016 seasons, but things spun out of control, and you absolutely don't want anything like that happening. So I do think it's important to right the ship. I don't know that they need to go on some long winning streak. Obviously it'd be nice, but if they're getting back to the point even where they're just losing close games, losing 4-3 games like they were early in the season, I would feel a lot better than some of what we've been seeing with these blowouts and just horrible, horrible lack of execution.
Crazy to me, they were 5-2 sitting there, up 6-0 on Seattle. That's just wild. And I hope we can look back and say, this was that turning point for them. You know, I hope that this is one of those cases. Nick, thanks so much. Excited to see you at Target Field soon. And we'll get out there and hopefully the weather gets better. I saw it's supposed to rain maybe this weekend too, but thanks for coming on and enjoy the rest of your day, sir. And hopefully we get a Twins win tomorrow on this weekend.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for having me on, Nash. Always a pleasure. Nick.